of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, I'm saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way. Hallelujah, I'm free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, I'm saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way.
One more time.
Oh, hallelujah, I'm free. I'm free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way.
Amen. We're gonna go we're gonna sing another song. Hallelujah, I'm free.
That's all right, let's sing it.
Go ahead, brother, go ahead.
I definitely didn't want to say this. I had started laughing, but I'm gonna do it anyways. Trust in the Lord and the power of His might, and lean not into your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. It doesn't say in most of your ways or some of your ways.
Come on.
It says in all your ways. So what I've heard lots of people say, well, God directs our paths. He orders our steps. He has a caveat. There's something He puts down there. You know.
Yeah.
If you acknowledge Him in all your ways, then He directs your path.
Yeah.
I've been guilty of saying, oh, God leads, He directs my path, and acknowledging them 89% of the time and keeping my pet problems. Knowing they're my pet problems. But they're mine, so I like them, so I keep them. So I have misquoted that He'll direct my path so much.
Oh, we all have, brother.
And it's just something to put out there.
Amen. 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 Go ahead, sis.
I just want to thank God for being here. You know, just another opportunity to black Satan's eye.
Right.
You know, and I was thankful, you know, for the activities of this weekend. You know, just another time to get together with people who believe what you believe. You know, one of the activities that we did, we're all bonded together. You know, and if nothing else, by the word. And I'm like so thankful for that. And I'm thankful for each of the friendships that I have here. You know, and I have spoken and unspoken prayers that I want the Lord to touch, you know, and I was sitting there thinking about that song, Lord, I need you now, you know, and I don't want to leave the same way I came, you know, and I'm like, Lord, I just thank Him, you know, and I'm going to try to sing the song if I can get over my nerves and remember the words. Lord, I need you now more than I ever have before. Lord, I need you today before I walk out the door. I don't want to leave this place the same way. Lord, I need a change.
thankful and happy to be home, and you know the Lord brought me home safely and had a great vacation. But this is where I belong. This is for the living body. This is where our living word. This is where I need to be and need to be part of. And I'm just thankful to be a part of it and to be able to accept this word and to grow in this word and be a living manifestation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, brothers and sisters.
Amen. You know, I say all the time to doubt your doubts. But it's hard to do. I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, give me a song this morning. And I said, But forget it, devil. I'm just going to do what God said to do. You know, and you know, he sees around corners. That's why he leads us. You know, we don't see around corners. That's right. You know, we don't lead nothing. We follow. Sheep follow.
Right.
And I was thinking about this song. I hadn't sung it for a while. And I thought, well, you know, we just live.
That's right.
You know, we just flat live. You know, sometimes my wife was telling me what was talked about yesterday at the sisters thing. You know, they're talking about leadership, of course, like Brother Moore said he would to us brothers. And but, you know, we're not called by any law. We're not called by having to line up to anything. You know, once you're born again, once you got the Holy Spirit of God leading you, what else do you need? You know, he's got everything taken care of. All the things that I do that are no are wrong, all the sin that so easily beset me, he gives me strength to set it aside anyway. I can't do it on my own. You know, if I do, it's me, you know. And if he does it, well, it's he's bringing about his own will. And I'm thankful for it being so plain, so simple, so just a life. You know, it's just like being myself.
Yeah.
And there's no trouble being myself.
That's right.
You know, unless I feel intimidated somewhere or the other. And that's all Satan's got. Intimidates you out of being yourself.
That's right.
And, you know, you get up here and you think, well, what am I going to say? What should I say? Should it be something? You know, it's going to be edifying. It's going to be something.
My.
Someone already said something it should say now. Maybe it's just for me. You know, thoughts. Like crazy, you know, that's where Satan dwells, you know, all this nonsense that he throws on you. But when you're led, you know, I was thinking about it, talking to Brother Lockett out there, you know, he's talking about just a simple faith. That he's learning just to have faith and just leave it there, you know, and I said, just like a child, you know, you tell a child you're going to get ice cream, he don't go into, well, what are we going to drive? Is it raining out? Is it, you know, is it which one are we going to, you know, he just believes it. Yeah, we're going to get ice cream, plain and simple. And let God, let the Father, let whoever promised him work out the details.
Work out the details, and that's right.
You know, I think just believe it. Let God work out all the details. He said, I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. Let him work out all the details.
Let him work it out.
You know, and to me, I'm just living by faith, walking by faith, and trusting him every step of the way, and just childlike enough to just believe what he said.
Amen.
So, here's this song. I woke up this morning, I rose with the sun. I'm thinking about Jesus and all that he's done. I better drop that a little lower for me. Let me something, maybe a D.
Jesus keeps shining.
G.
Woke up this morning, I rose with the sun, thinking about Jesus and all that he's done. You see, he never failed one time to meet every need. And Jesus keeps pouring out his love down on me. Blessing me more, and I can see he's guiding me more than ever before. I may not have riches, but I'll never be poor, 'cause he keeps blessing me more. Storm clouds may gather and darken the sky, but the sun still keeps shining, though it's hid from my eyes. And behind every trial, his blessings I see. Jesus keeps pouring his His light down on me.
Amen.
Oh, He keeps blessing me more. And I can see He's guiding me more than ever before. I may not have riches, but I'll never be poor. Cause He keeps blessing me more.
The storm clouds may gather and darken the sky,
but the sun still keeps shining, though it's hid from my eyes. And behind every trial, His blessings I see. Jesus keeps shining His light down on me. He keeps blessing me more. And I can see He's guiding me more than ever before. I may not have riches, but I'll never be poor. Cause Jesus, He keeps blessing me more. He keeps blessing me more. And I can see He's guiding me more than ever before. I may not have riches, but I'll never be poor. Cause He keeps blessing me more. And He keeps blessing me more. Yes, storm clouds may gather and darken the sky, but the sun still keeps shining, though it's hid from my eyes. And behind every trial, His blessings I see. Cause Jesus keeps shining His light down on me. Oh, He keeps blessing me more. And I can see He's guiding me more than ever before. I may not have riches, but I'll never be poor. Oh, He keeps blessing me more.
One more time, hallelujah. Storm clouds.
Storm clouds may gather and darken the sky, but the sun still keeps shining, though it's hid from my eyes. And behind every trial, His blessings I see. Cause Jesus keeps shining His light down on me. Oh, He's blessing me more. And I can see He's guiding me more than ever before. I may not have riches, but I'll never be poor. Oh, Jesus keeps blessing me more. Oh, He keeps blessing me more.
Amen. Go ahead, Brother Tommy.
Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
I wanted to get up here and share today. I've been making an effort to consciously let God's will be done through me daily. So
amen.
What I've been doing is just opening my Bible to wherever I flip it to and doing a short reading.
Amen.
And I flipped to Hosea 4:8. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth nor mercy nor knowledge of God. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. It goes on, but I don't need to continue that. So basically, how this struck me, because what Brother Jay said about last week, I just related a lot to with having the decision or opportunity to choose the word or to choose the world or to choose God when I was younger. unfortunately, I chose the world, and it landed me in a world of pain, hurt, suffering. So, you know, there's proof of going the opposite way as well as proof of following Jesus
Christ.
That's
right. Come on.
So the blessings are just undeniable for me. So I'm trying my best to let God's will be done and step out the way.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, brother. Let's sing Hallelujah, I'm Free, key of F. And I'm going to need your help, bro.
I got you, bro. Different one, Sister Clace. Yeah, no worries.
We'll start it off.
I'm free. Praise the Lord, I'm free. No longer bound. There's no more chains holding me. My soul is resting. It's just a blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, I'm free.
Let's sing that again.
Yes, I'm free. Praise the Lord, I'm free. I'm no longer bound. There's no more chains holding me. My soul is resting. It's just a blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, I'm free. Yes, I'm free. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm free. I'm no longer bound. There's no more chains holding me. My soul is resting. It's just a blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, I'm free. Yes, I'm free. Praise the Lord, I'm free. No longer bound. There's no more chains holding me. My soul is resting. It's just a blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, I'm free.
Let's sing it again. Hallelujah.
Yes, I'm free. Praise the Lord, I'm free.
Hallelujah.
I'm no longer bound. There's no more chains holding me. My soul is resting. It's just a blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, I'm free.
One more time, hallelujah.
I'm free. Praise the Lord, I'm free. I'm no longer bound. There's no more chains holding me. My soul is resting. It's such a blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Quick testimony in here. I see you, Brother Seth. I just want to jump in and just praise God for the opportunity to be here. Amen. You know, it was really good to hear that the sisters had a fellowship, that there were some sisters to fellowship with.
Oh, yes.
You know, a lot of times out in the world, sisters can't fellowship.
Man.
A lot of times out in the world, brothers can't fellowship. Because to be able to fellowship, you got to be in one mind and one accord.
That's right.
That's really fellowship.
That's real fellowship.
Now, you can be in a group. Gathered around a bunch of people. But if it's not in one mind and one accord, that's not fellowship.
Everybody got their own
thing. Now, you're like, oh, brother, come on now. If you went to a building and a lot of people were there, it don't matter if it's 1,000 people at Lowe's. I'm not fellowshiping with 1,000 people.
Right.
It don't matter how many people were there. We're not in one mind and one accord. We're not working on the same project.
No.
We don't got the same outlook.
No.
We're not going to the same place. But you come into a place where you're in one mind and one accord.
Goodness.
Now you can get things done.
Yes.
You've got people there that can help you, support you. So it was beautiful to see, to hear that the sisters got a chance to get together. That's great. I'm happy for them. And I'm thanking God I got a chance this morning to get together and fellowship with God. That's going to be great. You know, I thought about that. I thought, you know, Brother Jeremiah, God bless his gallant soul. He's going to be preaching to us this morning. Praise God for that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of churches that when the pastor don't show up, they don't have church.
Right, they shut it down.
Let me just walk you through this. There's a lot. There's probably about 25% of the churches. The pastor don't show up, they don't have church. That's it. The other 25%, when the pastor don't show up, there's dissension amongst the people. They're lost. They're looking around like, well, who's supposed to lead us? The Holy Spirit leads and guides us. The same God that's in Pastor Moore's and Brother Jeremiah, I have the same expectation.
Come on. Now,
I come here with the same expectation. Somebody's going to feed me.
Somebody's going to feed me.
I'm leaving with something.
Oh, yeah.
I come here out of desperation.
Oh, yes.
I come here because I need God.
Yes.
I don't want to leave the same. Oh, I came here with problems, with thoughts, with issues. I come in here and I drop them, and I don't want to pick them up. You know, and I love Brother Tommy's testimony when he said, you know, hey, I can show you examples of doing the wrong thing. Brother Tommy, we all have those.
Yes.
We all have examples of doing the wrong thing. And that's what makes us appreciate the right thing. But when I love that, because there's going to come a point where you come in your life and you look at it and you go, even the wrong things.
Oh, my.
Even when I did the wrong things, he was still with me. And when I did the right things, he was with me. Even if I made my bed in hell, you're still with me. No matter where I go, he's still with me. When I made it, it looked like it was impossible. When I made so many mountains, God still provided a way. So I can look at the bad. I can look at the good, and my faith gets increased each time. I don't look at just the good days and say I need God. That's my revelation I've been telling y'all for years. I know I need God on my best day just as much as I need him on my worst day. And that's what keeps me balanced. That's what keeps me stable.
Right.
But I thank God for this place. I thank God for this revelation. I thank God that I got a place to come to that I can sit with believers that believe God. Oh, my goodness. You don't even understand. I mean, to a certain extent, we're spoiled.
Yeah.
Because you got friends in here.
Yeah.
That's spoiling. Because that means you don't have to be by yourself.
You don't have to
That you got loved ones in here. You got family in here. That means you don't have to go through this by yourself. There's times that people had to go through this thing by themselves. You imagine if Martin Luther had 40, 50 people that were standing with him at the door to put those theses on there, it would have been a little bit easier. It would have made it a little bit easier to say, you know what? You got my back.
Yeah.
I'm going to put this on here and you're going to guard for me.
Right.
It would have been a little bit easier.
Yeah.
And now I'm looking around and say, I'm surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses.
Oh, my.
Let me lay aside every weight that so easily besets me.
Yes.
Oh, I'm confused with this. Lay it down. Oh, I don't know how to read that. Lay it down. Oh, I don't know how to interpret the scripture. Lay it down. I don't know how to preach it like they preach it. Lay it down.
That's
I don't know how to testify like they testify. Lay it down. God just wants you. He'll give you everything else you need. If he wants you to sing, he'll give you the voice to sing. If he wants you to testify, he'll make your memory long enough to say the testimony. He'll put some thoughts in there. He'll give you things to go through the week that'll help you strengthen your testimony. He'll let you see that, hey, I was at Kroger's and somebody did something for me, and I can remember that, and I'm going to testify about that. God will provide everything. You say God will provide? Yes. That's what we preached about.
Everything.
To the ram in the bush way before you got there.
Right.
So just now, little bride, just prophesy again. Let the word be gone forth. And I thought, I love the fact that we got leadership in here. Because that does, you need leadership. Without leadership, let me give you a small example of leadership. Now, the United States, as good and bad as it is, has leadership. We have leadership. We have a democracy. We have a process. We got leadership. Haiti and the United States started around the same time. Haiti, no leadership. Haiti, no leadership. The United States, no leadership. The United States with leadership. It just shows you a difference. When you got some leadership, you got growth, you got stability, you got economic development, you got plans, you got people. No, as bad as the United States is, it ain't Haiti.
Right.
Right? You think about lawlessness and just craziness and things going on. That's what the rest of this world is. Lawlessness and craziness is going on. The rest of the world is Haiti, so to speak. And we're right here in just this peaceful Goshen. We got light everywhere. We got instructions on everything. We can tell you how to handle your home. We can tell you how to handle your job. We can tell you how to handle yourself. We can tell you how to handle even your mental battles. I can show you how to get over them. You know what I say? Get to the house. Well, what do you do for the kids? Get to the house. What do you do for your job? Get to the house. What do you do when I'm running through depression? Get to the house. What about my school problems? Just get to the house. Well, Brother Jay, you keep saying the same instructions. Because guess what? That's the same thing that helped me. I don't have nothing else to give you.
Else.
That's what helped me.
Hey,
what would I get to when I was going through my job issues? Got to the house. What did I do when my kids was going through issues? Get to the house. What did I do when me and my wife were going through different things? Get to the house. That's the same thing that helped me.
Yeah.
Get to the house. That's the only instruction I got for you. Get to the house. Because then when you get here, you're trusting that God is going to take care of you.
And that's faith.
And that's faith.
Right.
That's faith. That's the unseen working. You're saying, I don't have it now, but when I get there, he's going to give it to me.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have it now, but when I get there, he's going to give it to me.
He'll provide.
He always provides.
Oh.
So I praise God for this place. I'm looking forward to Brother Jeremiah's going to preach. I believe it before he even says it. My amen's going on record now.
Yes.
I want him to know I stand with that brother.
I stand with that, brother. I stand with you.
Yes.
I'm encouraging you. I want you to keep pushing. Yes. And you know what I'm going to do for Brother Tommy? I'm going to scotch my tires right behind him, right there. Yes. I'm never going to let him let that back.
Right.
Oh, 2 years ago by, and he'll want to say something different possibly. Nope, Brother Tommy. Right there. I'm going to put my shoulder in your back and say, you said. Yes. Let's keep trying. Keep trying more. Read 2 scriptures if you need to. Read 3 scriptures if you need to. Let's look into a quote if you need to. Let's look this message up and listen to a tape.
I'm going to
scotch my tires and help
him.
And then you know what? I got my wife right behind me saying, you can preach it, Pastor. You can preach it, brother. You can preach it. And we're all behind you.
Yeah.
And then I get behind Brother Jeremiah and say, you can do this. Yeah. You can do this.
That's right.
So that way when Satan wants to enter in at all.
No room.
I can't stop. I got too many people behind me, depending on me, pushing me through this thing.
It's too tight.
Oh, my. So I love this thing. I love how this thing
works.
I love how it ties. I love the body. God bless you, Brother Sam.
What do you say to that?
Oh, yes.
Brother Tommy, it's not about the truth. I tell you what, I love this thing so much. I tell you what, he said you only had one thing to invest. One thing.
That's it.
That's all he said, just invest the one thing. Invest that you believe.
Oh,
you know, when you get up here, no matter what it looks like, he said, you know what? I can show you the right way, I can show you the wrong way. Yes, I love that, Brother Jay, because yes, you know what's funny is there's a law of motion. Mm-hmm. Object stays in motion.
Yeah.
Unless acted upon by a separate force.
Right.
You
know
what? God won't be opposed.
No.
God won't be opposed, so there's no opposite force.
No.
There's none.
There's nothing that's going to stop us.
No.
You start talking about a forward motion. Yes, we're going to push you.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what the job of the body does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No matter what it looks like. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what this flesh looks like, because the flesh will fail you every time. Every single time you put faith on this flesh, it will fail you. But I tell you what, we had a prescription, something within me that's greater than anything out there, that's greater than any of your problems. You know, it's right. Yeah, you get the house. It's the same prescription. Because God's the same yesterday and today and forever.
Yeah.
It's not a God for this, a God for that, it's a God for this. It's a God for all.
Yeah.
He covered it all.
He
covered it all.
You didn't
have to do anything.
Yeah.
You didn't have to sacrifice anything. All you had to do was get out of the way.
Yeah.
Right.
All you had to do. And that's the first step, is say, you know what? Yeah. I can do it.
Yeah.
If he said you can sing, then you sing.
Yeah.
If he said that you can raise your hand, then raise your hand the highest.
Yeah, just do
if
whatever
he says
he
you can clap your hands, you bet your heart, your palms let me soar.
Yeah.
Yes.
If he says play the trumpet, you play it to your mouth, it's dumb.
Yeah.
If he says talk, you talk till you can't talk anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because what? Why not? What's God giving us?
Yeah.
He's giving us everything.
Use it all.
You come in here with problems, and he's like, guess what? You don't have to leave the same way.
Right.
No.
That song right there, you're going to come in here and just, it's not form and fashion for me. It's
not
10 o'clock
no.
appointment for me. You have a lot of those throughout the week. But this is the one time we can step into eternity.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And not only step into eternity, but you have a body behind you.
Yes. Yeah.
What are you going to do with that? We should be making the song leader so nervous. You can't speak it good enough. You can't make it sound pretty enough. It's the truth, because my whole entire goal is just to push the body.
Yeah.
We have one job to do.
That's
I'm
it.
Not sitting here trying to do my own thing.
Right.
I'm not trying to make my own revelation. I'm just trying to get the debt up.
Yeah.
That's it. That is it.
That's all.
That is all I have to do. I don't even know how I'm going to do it.
No.
I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to, what the process or order. It's not even my job.
Right.
All I can say is my only thought from Wednesday was invest your talent.
Yes.
That's my only thought. Until I get another thought, it's just invest your talent. So you know what? If I have a talent to talk, I'm going to get up here. Because at first I battled myself over there. It's like, well, I don't want to make it a habit. Well, if nobody else is going to do it, I'm going to do it.
Hey. Yeah.
If nobody else is going to praise God, I'll praise God.
Yes.
Like Brother Moore used to say, you know, if no one plays the piano, I'll play the piano.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll learn how to play the piano. Two fingers. Starts with two steps. Then you start playing with two fingers.
Yeah.
And then you start playing with two hands. You guys start clapping your hands. You start raising your hands. You know what? You get comfortable in it.
Yes.
You know what? You start realizing, oh, you know what? This is real.
Yeah.
This is real. Oh, and then you start, oh, man, I can't do it. And then you have, a force behind you.
Yeah.
You can't help but fail when you have God behind you.
Right.
Because you'll try.
Jeez, right.
You'll try to talk yourself out of it. You'll be like, you know, it's just me. I did this 30 minutes ago. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever, Satan. Because all Satan wants to do is distract you.
That's right. It.
He wants to make you think that the microphone's too far that you can't touch it. But you know what? Just take one step forward.
Just take a step.
One step forward.
That's it.
He didn't ask for anything different besides take one step forward. He said, just step forward and say, you know what?
Oh, it's nothing but the truth.
It's too simple.
You know what, Brother Tommy? I stand behind you. I stand behind everything you said.
Yeah.
Amen. I stand behind what you said before you said it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know it's like you're from God. It wasn't a matter of like, well, I guess who's going to preach? I guess I'll find out and wait until I leave. No.
No.
I can't. No one else got up.
Right. Yeah, I'll get up.
Yeah.
If nobody sang a song, I'll sing a song.
Yeah.
That's investment.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about looking at the strong people in the church, they're invested. If there wasn't somebody to play a song, hey, brother, I came here early. Hey, I don't know how to do the song. Let me call the resource of who's actually going to sing the song and have him sing it for me.
Yeah.
Guess what? They played the song right.
Yeah.
They're invested.
Yeah. Yeah,
they're invested.
Oh my goodness!
That's there's benefits to this, and there's natural benefits. But I tell you what, more than anything else, I'm born again.
Amen.
I'm born again. Amen. Greatest thing is a revelation.
Yes. Amen.
Greatest thing is a revelation. So you're sitting here with understanding.
Amen.
You know who you are. You're not torn. You're not crazy.
No.
And you have a body behind you because when you're born again, you tied yourself back to the body.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
You had to identify with something. So right. I am thankful.
Oh, my.
And I won't let Satan try to take away my voice. Because you know what? I am invested.
Yeah.
It's too real to me.
Oh, yeah.
It's been the only thing that's been consistent in my life.
That's right.
Yeah. Things have changed. Yeah. Friends have changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Families changed. Mm-hmm. This has stayed the same. Every single time. Every single time this has stayed the same. You come in, it's still the same. Yesterday. That's how you know God's here. Mm-hmm. It's because it's not a temporary thing. It's not an emotion.
Mm-mm.
Yes, it does stir up some emotion. You can't help but stir some emotion because I love it. But when you see it, you see it. I love that. I'll never forget that, Brother Jay. Try to talk me out of something I already know.
Yeah.
You can't talk me out of it.
No, I know.
I may talk a little bit timidly when I'm not talking about something I know. But when you know what you know, you hold your chest back like, I know for a fact.
Yeah.
2 + 2 = 4.
Yeah.
You can't talk me out of this.
Can't talk me out of it.
You can't tell me that I don't have it.
Right.
You can't tell me that I'm less than perfect.
Come on.
You can't tell me I was, before the foundation of the earth, was a paternal thought, and I'm already signed, sealed, and delivered. So all he asked was just, be done. Get out of the way.
That's it.
Let me take over. So you know what?
Amen.
It's yours.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Brother Kevin.
Oh, man, it's hard to come in this church and not say anything. I'm telling you, man, because brothers get me stirred up. But, I mean, I love this word so much. And, you know, I was thinking about Wednesday night about the talents. And those talents, God already knows what kind of talents each and every part of the body has. He will provide it. I thought about it. I said, you know what? Even if you come up here, let's say you can't testify. God will give you that talent just to get out the way. You know what I mean?
Right.
I thought about that because, you know, getting up here is not the easiest. It's not. But you can just get out of the way. God will take care of the rest. He will. And I thank God for that because he always will provide. And I try to change my thinking, too, because sometimes we limit God. As God can't do it, it's God. God can do anything he wants. I mean, stop limiting God. And I just told myself, Kevin, hey, shake your thinking up. I mean, so another thing I thought about, too, I was listening to the service. Brother Moore talked about, three levels of protection. Right. And I was listening to him, I was DoorDash, and he mentioned about, you know, the building. Because, you know, sometimes I come here, and I hear a lot of people talk, you don't have to come to church. You don't have to, it's just a building. Well, you got your thinking wrong.
Yeah.
Because you can say, well, this is just a building here, but it's more than just a building. God's here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the difference. I mean, and I thank God that we have a place to come to come. Because think about it. Most people don't have a church to go to in a sense like that. And heck, we got a camping trip coming up. And we're gonna be in the wild.
Yeah.
But God's gonna be there, right? So it doesn't matter. It's not about the building. It's about the word that comes here, and I thank God for that because we overlook so much as like it's gotta be a building. It's not the building, people. It's what God's here, and then we look at it so different, and we just take it for granted. I mean, look at our brothers and sisters. Oh, they ain't God there. But God's dwelling in flesh. He is. I mean, you might not like it. You better get over it, because that's how it is. So get over it. Get over it. You may not like me. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. You don't have to like me. God's dwelling here.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take a back seat on it. I'm not. No, I'm not going to.
Right.
Stop looking at the boys. Oh, Kevin, you look like you're about 15, 16 years old. No, it doesn't matter. Okay, that's fine. Say what you want. God's still dwelling here.
Yeah.
No matter what you think, it doesn't matter. God always provides, and I thank God for that because I'm not taking a back seat on anything. The healing, anything that God says he will do, just hold on to it. He will. And I thank God for that because God's not a liar. He's not a liar. He's always going to keep his word true. He always will.
That's right.
And Brother Tommy, you stir me, brother, because, you know, you came in here and you know, that takes a lot of courage to say that you didn't do things the right way. I didn't either, brother. I didn't either.
Right.
But, you know, we're still standing.
Yeah.
We're still here.
We're still here.
And if you yield to what God tells you to do, God will bless you, sir. He will bless you.
Yes.
He will bless you. He blessed me. And he will do anything if you just yield to what God says. So I thank God for that. If you just listen to God, God will take care of the rest. So
amen.
I thank God.
When the brothers come get the offering. Go ahead, Sister Mel. You'll be the last one.
Amen. I just wanted to get up this morning to thank God for another day. I start my Sundays off different than any other week. Turn the music on, get your mind right and settled. And then I go over to the pastor in Clarice's house to ride over with them. Well, this morning, the pastor's still sitting there. I'm like, isn't it Sunday? What's going on? So he had to leave out of town. But, you know, we were sitting there chatting. I was like, I got to go. I can't be late because you're not going to be there. I'm looking forward to Brother Jeremiah. And just like he said, Brother Jay, it is a blessing that the church doesn't stop because the pastor's not here. Yes, we'll miss him, but God is still sitting over there.
Right.
And God is still sitting on the organ.
Right.
So I just want to thank God for bringing me here this morning.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to the word. And as far as those talents are concerned, I keep trying to pinpoint what my talent is, but my talent will come from God.
Right.
And what I do is just try to give from the heart, you know, and that's my talent. And everything that I do concerning the church, you know, working with Sister Michelle, is from the heart.
Yes.
And that's what I have. And if that's what he wants to use, I'll continue to use it. God
Amen.
Bless you.
Amen. You know, I love how these testimonies have been coming because, like, you know, we don't pay attention to the things God looks at and values in each and every one of us. All of us have a talent that you come in here with one talent, just like Pastor said. And, you know, you use that all the time and you barely ever give it any credit. But that's the very one thing that God uses all the time. And whatever that is, it'll show itself. Pastor said a gift will make way for itself. So just continue to keep giving with a humble heart, with an open mind, with an open heart. Just give. Because you can't outgive God. You never outgive God. And I just love this place. Let me go over the announcements. So we got Jan Jeremiah going to Elkton June 8th and the 9th. And then the church camping trip to Indiana on the 20th of July. 2 p.m. departure. And God bless the Women's Fellowship this yesterday. And let's sing 155 in the chorus. Food in the Storehouse. Kia G. And then we'll get them up. Thank you for the testimonies. God bless you.
In this day, men are in dark. From the true word, many shall part, refusing to heed the word of God. For this our day, there's plenty of food in the storehouse of God's word. No shortage of meat, no shortage of water. Come, let us feast, my sister and brother. Plenty of food in the storehouse of God's word.
Down through the years.
Down through the years, these tapes have went round and around this world they are sent. Feeding the sheep the word of God that is so pure. Stay with the tapes the prophet has said. Don't add anything to what I have said. Stay with the word given to us for this our day. Well, there's food in the storehouse. storehouse. There's plenty of food in the storehouse of God's word. No, no shortage of meat, no shortage of water. So come, let us feast, my sister and brother. Plenty of food in the storehouse of God's word.
I've met my Lord.
I met my Lord in the word of today. I see the light, there is no more gray. I've been placed as a son with authority, as heir of the King. Rapturing faith has set me apart. I'll serve my God with my mind, soul, and heart. I'll stay with the word given to us for this our day.
Verse 1. In this day, men are in dark. From the true word, many shall part, refusing to heed the word of God. For our day, a word for the bride Jesus has sent. Out of his mouth the word of God went, spoken to us by God's prophet for this day. There's food in the storehouse. Yes, there's food in the storehouse. There's plenty. Water, come let us feast, my sister and brother. Plenty of food in the storehouse of God's word. One more time. Yes, there's food in the storehouse. Yeah, food in the storehouse. There's plenty of food of God's word. No shortage of meat, no shortage of water. Come, let us feast, my brother and sister. Plenty of food in the storehouse of God's word.
Dear God, we thank you for your word, for your revealed word, Lord, a revelation, for that food in the storehouse that we can stand on and count on, knowing that it has every answer that we need. Thank you for giving us that word and that revelation, for sending us a prophet in our day, and letting us and giving us the ability to recognize our day and its message. Thank you for this service, Lord, for the testimonies, for the songs. You surely have been good to us, letting us know who we are, blessing us left and right, and we thank you for that. Be with your bride around the world. Touch those in need. Brother George in Africa, Lord, touch his needs. Touch his nephew. Brother Trevor down in Kentucky, Lord, continue to touch him and his mind and his body. Touch Brother Jimmy Moorfield and family, Lord. Be with them. bless them. Touch those unspoken requests and spoken requests. Lord, you know every need. And you said, I'm the Lord thy God that supplies all your needs. And we thank you for that. Have your way with the preaching. Lord, I got some notes up here. I got my Bible open. But only you know how to really take this word and preach it and reveal it to us and talk to us. Have your way. Answer our questions. Let us leave here today saying, thank you, Lord, for another service where you've talked to us. Have your way. Thank you for everything you've done for us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be back here this morning. See everybody. And surprise, Brother Moore has a pastor duty to do this afternoon, so he asked if I could take care of service, so here we are. But we know that God is the one that will take care of the job. But it's good to be here and enjoyed the testimonies and the songs this morning. And heard the sisters had a good fellowship yesterday. That's always nice. It's a little bit of one-on-one time with God is always a nice thing, right? And God talks to you and gets down to earth with you. Talks about everyday life. It's a blessing to have those answers. And we thank God for it. And Brother Spivey, the pastor down in Kentucky, reached out to me yesterday, said, you guys excited about coming down? I said, we sure are. We're looking forward to it. You know, we had such a good time at Easter. I can't wait to get down there. And I know the Lord will bless. And go down there and let the Lord have his way. Looking forward to it. And then on that July 20th trip, keep in mind you can sign up. And if you have your tent or car or whatever you want to sleep in, come join us, you know. We're looking for, because the reason why we say that so boldly is just it's a nice camping place. It's a great place, actually, but this isn't like a hotel where you're going to have a bed and comfort, so you got to bring something to sleep in, and there'll be a bathroom there and things like that. But so just keep those things in mind, and we'll, those that want to travel together, at least follow each other, will leave here at 2 p.m. as it says. So keep those things in mind. You can always get a hotel or you can travel over and back, so nobody's limiting you on what you can do to enjoy the fellowship there, but it will be a good time. Going a little early so we can enjoy the grounds and the place and fellowship around the Word. So keep that in mind. And so, Ben, it's good to be back. Join the services. And enjoyed Wednesday night. The talents of God, you know. And it's so true, you know, you must be born again. And we say that all the time, and it's because it is a requirement. Because Jesus himself said, if you ain't born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. You won't understand it and have a revelation. You won't see it in that way. Nor will you be on the other side with me if you don't have a nature change. And that's the start. And you know, as Brother Moore was closing Wednesday night, that's a first talent. And then, you know, you invest that. And, you know, and the trick of the devil sometimes is he'll try to make a talent be so hard, so out there to grab or do something. But, you know, just coming to church and saying amen is a talent. You're bringing something to the service. Coming to service and the Lord, allowing the Lord to anoint you, and you walk around, you're blessing the body. Coming here and singing a song because the Lord put it on your heart is a talent. Being able to stand up and maybe dance or whatever, if that's what God's anointed you to do, that's a talent. Cleaning the church is a talent. Say, opening the door in the back and smiling and letting somebody in here is a talent. And the devil will trick you in saying, well, if I don't preach like Brother Moore, or if I'm not as anointed as Brother James, or if I don't do the 100 things that Brother Deskins does, I don't have a talent. But that's a lie of the devil. I mean, we say it all the time. You've heard me preach it, but just let a young kid get up here and testify one time, and it'll turn his whole body on. The point is just yielding yourself to God and let him have his way and let him use you, and he will start, you invest, and he will magnify your investment. And what's so great about this investment, this ain't like the worldly stock market where it can crash. This one will last forever. Only what you do for Christ will last. We've heard that around here many, many years, but it's true. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. You'll never lose by investing into God. You'll never lose by giving God your life. You'll never lose by amen in the Word. If you're a believer, you'll never lose by coming to church. The opposite was true. You lose when you don't go to church. You lose when you don't give to God. God's already seen you amen the word. He's already seen you step forward and say, I want this thing. And if you didn't have something you could do for him, he wouldn't call you. We all have something we can do for God. I like being able to say that. We all have something we can do for God. We're all a member of this body. We're here for a purpose. We're here for a reason. God's called us. We say all the time, he didn't just call us to sit on a bench. He called us to be involved. He called us to be engaged. He called us to be on fire for him. It's things like fire shut up in your bones. And it doesn't mean you're going to jump up and down like James, and that's got to be fire. But this thing will change your life. It'll take you from what you used to do, and it'll make you do things that you thought you would never do in your life. You'll be doing them without realizing it. You start investing just a little bit and wondering what does God want, and you don't even know fully what he's going to want out of you. But before you know it, you're testifying, you're cleaning the church, you're singing, you're helping the body, you're driving them somewhere, you're buying them clothes, you're doing something for them, help them feed them, help take care of them, doing all kinds of things before you even realize it. And God's using you. That's the way this thing is. You'll never go wrong investing in this thing. This is the greatest investment you can have. And we know Jesus paid it all. I don't say that like we're doing something so great, but we are the one that accepts this thing. We are the one that believes this thing. We are the one that steps out on it. We are the ones that applies it. Like Brother Children used to say, I know God does. On one side of the coin, God's done everything. But on the other side of the coin, don't take away my part. I got to play our part to play. I got an amen to give. I got a hand to raise. I got a job to do. I got a talent to express. I got an anointing about me that God's given me, that he's revealed his word to me, that he wants me to do something, Brother Destin, to get out of the way, to just let go and let God have his way. Oh, to overcome this flesh and yield to God. Oh, you'll be blessed. To overcome what somebody thinks about you and get up and testify, though you think you can't talk, though you think you stutter, though you think you don't have proper speech and proper grammar, to overcome all that thinking, though you think you're quiet, though you think you're shy, though you think you don't know as much as Brother James, I'm just going down a list where the devil talks to you, though you think you can't sing like somebody else, though you think you look silly walking around the aisles, overcome all that thinking that's just from the pits of hell, from the devil himself, and yield to God, and you'll be blessed every time. And you'll bless the body every time. But you got to overcome that, what the devil's going to talk to you about. If I listened to the devil, Brother Dustin's, I wouldn't be preaching this morning. Let me just tell you. You know, we say it all the time, I can't do this job. I don't know how to get up here. I'm not educated enough about this Bible to put together a story up here enough to be up here longer than 10 minutes. And I mean that. You see us preach so many times and we just get going. You think, oh, that's so easy. I can't do this without God. I got to get out of the way. I don't even fully, you know, we kind of know what he wants because he's leading and guiding you, but you don't know what he wants until he does it. Yes. Hey, Jeremiah, you take your son up there. Take your body up there. Yes. Present it a sacrifice. Lay it on the altar. Yes. And before you know it, you're just trusting him, and then here's got a ram in the bush. Yes. That's how God is. He wants you sometimes just to trust him. Yes. That's what faith is all about. It's the evidence of things not seen. Okay. If you can see everything, it don't take trust. Yes. If you can see around corners, it don't take faith. But God loves a bride that says, I'm taking him at his word. I know he'll provide. I know he'll give the increase. I know he'll provide the ram. I know he'll give me everything I need. That's what you got to look at the devil and tell him. Get behind me, Satan. I know who I am. I know what I'm called to do. I'm part of the fivefold ministry. Now I'm talking to the devil myself. I'm part of the fivefold ministry. I'm ordained to do this job. I'm meant to do this job. I'm going to get up there despite not wanting to get up there because I got a job to do for the Lord. I'm already feeling better. Like I told you, you give to God, you'll never go wrong. He'll bless you even when we don't deserve to be blessed. He'll
God blessed you even when you know you wanted to run as far as you could. He blessed Jonah when Jonah ran as far away as he could from him. He said, I'm not even going to kill you. I'm going to keep you. I got a fish for you. Oh, I know that fish probably wasn't Jonah's favorite place, but that was God's grace. Saying, I'm not even going to let you drown in this ocean. I got a fish made for you. And I'm going to set this thing up so great that where I'm sending you, you're not even going to have to work that hard. You're just going to come walking out of that fish. And they're going to bow down to you because they worship the fish god. Oh, even when I don't deserve God's blessing. When I'm the one that's ran. When I'm the one that went the wrong way. When I'm the one that made the bad decision. He still swooped in. And still gave me what I needed. And still blessed me. And still took care of me. And said, this is my son. I can't do anything else. Oh, that's what that dad did for that prodigal son. He says, I know he went out there and he took all he got and he blew it away and wasted it away and sleeping out there with the pigs. But my son's home. Oh, prepare the table. We got a celebration to do. We got a party to have. My son's returned home. That's how God is with us. Oh, he'll chasten you. He's going to rebuke you. He's going to tell you need to be in the house. He's going to tell you where you've been. You know you didn't do no good out there. You know this is where you belong. But he's doing that in love. And all the while he's doing that, Brother James, he's excited. Oh, my people's come back. My bride's back. My seed's back. I can talk to her again. I can deal with her again. As much as he's rebuking you, he's loving you. And God gets excited every time you come back in here. Oh, just come back home. Oh, I like to say that. Don't worry if you've been gone too, a little bit. God will protect you. God, we won't even let anybody know you've been gone a little bit. Just come on back. Come on home. The Heavenly Father's here to deal with you and talk to you and bless you. Even when we're not worthy, you're not the only one. Oh, how many sons have I walked in here and saying, thank God I made a home. Oh, I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that. I'm not even worthy, but thank God for his amazing grace. Oh, that feels good, Brother Dustin. It's me standing in the need. Oh, you can't go so bad, you can't get back. You can't do so much, you can't come back. The only sin there is disbelief. If you're a dumb believer, then this ain't your home. But I'm talking to believers. You can't go so far. You can't go so low. You can't do the worst thing that you can't get back and God talk to you. Thank God for his amazing grace. Unfailing love. Matter of fact, he knew you couldn't do it. See, initially he put Adam and Eve on a conditional covenant. He said, Adam, Eve, you do this, I'll do that. But you do this, you die. And sure enough, they did the thing that killed them. So God said, no longer will I leave this in man's hands. He went down to Abraham, gave him a different covenant. He said, Abraham, regardless of what you do, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Now, we know Abraham ended up doing his part, but God wasn't counting on Abraham's goodness is what I'm trying to tell you. He wasn't counting on him making every perfect step. We said it before. Matter of fact, Abraham lied about Sarah being his wife because King Abimelech wanted Sarah. You know, and we use that story, you know, that's hidden in there. Thank God for a prophet, that story. That story is hidden in there. And it starts off with Sarah telling Abraham, I'm too old to have a child. What in the world are you talking about? All the way to a few chapters later, there's a king that wants to marry Sarah. Wow. Something happened. Something changed. She didn't look the same way when she's saying, I'm too old to have kids. Because you guys know in those days, I mean, come on, we know the king had many wives. Have anything he wanted. Kill anything he wanted to get that. And here she was. She was young, pretty to that king. And Abraham thought, oh, my Lord, that king's going to kill me. This is my sister, king. Is this your wife? No, that ain't my wife. This is my sister. My point being, Abraham lied. I ain't trying to make him bad. He's a good old man, but he lied. He was afraid. But you know what? God, that didn't stop God. It didn't stop the promise. It didn't say, I'm going to give you a promised son. That covenant had changed. It's not dependent upon your goodness, Abraham. It's not dependent upon how good you live. I've done this for you because I want to do it for you. And this is how we're going to fulfill my plan. And that's what we're on today. Is unconditional covenant. That despite sometimes our running from God, despite us being hard-headed, talking about myself again, being stubborn, because I can be that, and not moving fast enough, because I can do that, and doing the opposite of what God told me to do. Been there, done that. Thank God it's an unconditional covenant. We're still right here this morning. He still made a way. He still provided the increase. He still, the fact is, Jesus paid it all. There's still, he said, he wouldn't put more on you than you can bear. He'll make a way for an escape. He said, come and follow me to my Father's house. And we thank God for that rest and that peace. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to read from two places. And then we'll get to preaching about my thought I had, the Lord gave me. St. John, the first chapter. We're going to start with verse 1. We know that verse quite well. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Jumping down to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, and the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Going to jump over to Colossians, the first chapter. Starting at verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Think about that. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Here's my verse. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. May God add the blessings to the reading of his word. My title this morning is The Word Made Flesh. And just give you a little background here. Protect the innocent. I had a brother write me, and this brother's a believer. Now, so this brother ain't shaky. He's not a person that even, what I'm about to say, he was right on the track. So don't think this person had a problem. But he was just asking, he says, what do you think the fullness in Christ meant? You know, what does that mean? What is that fullness? And right after I gave my answer, the brother had a quote like 5 seconds later with backing it up. But my point being is he believed. He was just getting an additional witness. But I made a comment. I said, simply put, it's just the full word of God manifested in human skin. Because God is his word. And you say, well, Jeremiah, why are you saying all that? And I got to thinking, because the brother, right after that, he amen quickly. He had no problem. So what I'm about to say, what I'm about to say, I'm not talking about him, right? Because he might listen. I thought, you know, people almost, when you say simply put us the word of God, they would say, well, isn't that too simple? You know, because I was thinking, even as a kid, because I got to thinking about it, because I got to thinking probably the spirits he's dealing with. I thought, people think of God, and my imagination as a kid, he's this great creator, and he is. And, you know, like Brother Branham, Brother Branham thought he was going to float in a cloud somewhere and be a spirit. You know, you're a kid without understanding. You're thinking, he's some spiritual great being up there. He snaps his fingers, things happen. And you got this big old hard God to get a hold of. But I got to thinking about it. This word is how God said, I'm going to communicate to us. Yeah. And you can never overemphasize the word of God and the revelation thereof. And so I want to talk about this fullness of the word a little bit. Because it means more to us than sometimes I think we even give it credit for. to have an understanding of the Word of God is the greatest thing you can have in your life. And I'm going to work my way back to Jesus and work our way to us, but I want to talk about this Word a little bit, because God's Word is who He is. His Word is His plan. His Word is His will. You realize in this Bible, from page one to the end of it, is the complete plan of God? Now, here's the tricky part. Many people carry this around and have no idea what the plan of God is. It takes God to reveal His Word to you, to give you a revelation in order for you to understand it. So even for me just to say the Word of God's great by itself. But what really makes it work in your life is when He quickens the Word to you and you actually get a revelation, because that puts the Word to life. Many people carry the book around. Many people pack the book, and you know, I was thinking about them. They get a lot of good answers. Intellectually, they help people. They do a lot of good things even with an intellectual conception of this Bible. They help marriages. They'll teach you how to raise your kids. They'll make you a good neighbor. You can read this Bible intellectually and it'll tell you to work. And don't be lazy. It'll help you. But the greatest thing that can happen in your life is God gives you a revelation of this Word. Yeah. Seth said this morning, you can never overemphasize the importance of revelation to the believer. That's what makes this Word live. Paul himself said the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. When you get a revelation of this Word, you get a new birth. That's what a new birth is. It's just a clear understanding of the Word of God. When you understand the Word, you start understanding who God is. Question is, who's God? He's His Word. Now you need a revelation of that Word, but God and His Word is the same thing. And to understand this Word is to understand God, and that's the greatest thing we can walk around with on the face of the earth. Now let me slow down a little bit, because I got some things I want to talk about. Matthew, the 24th chapter. People sometimes are guilty in this message. Don't want to have you picking a cow out of a tree, having a cow eating grass out of a tree. Make it hard, make it complicated, make it something unobtainable. Because they put God in them, they'll want to be worshiped like God. They'll get offline, Brother Deskins. One way or the other. And I thank God that I understand His Word. Because to understand His Word is to understand what He's doing, what His plan is, where He's at today, what He's trying to accomplish. To have a revelation of His Word gives us all authority under heaven and earth to loosen bind. All right, Matthew, the 24th chapter. Verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know it that it is near, even at the door. So he had just went through a list of things about when the end time would come. So he's getting towards the end of talking about it a little bit. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Those words is what God cares about. Those words are eternal. My words are spirit and life. My words, my plan. My words, who I am. My words, what I want to do. My word tells you my plan from Genesis to Revelation that I've had you in my mind. It tells you everything about me. And if I give you a word, it has to come to pass. Not one word will fail or pass away. Think about that. Oh, I'm going to get us back to the Word made flesh in a little bit, but I want to talk about this Word for a little while. How much you can stand on it. How much you can count on it. Oh, it simply put us the Word, fullness of the Word. Isn't there more to it, Jeremiah? I could explain to you in a lot of different ways, but I want you to understand how powerful this Word is. It's the very God Himself. It's His plan. It's His thing that He's going to make sure happens no matter what. Amen. And what's so great about it, it talks about you. And if his word never fails, what it says about you will never fail. Oh, that gets me excited. Oh, many things will let you down. Jobs will come and go. Cars will come and go. Family members will pass away. Things will let you down. But God's word will never fail you one time, Brother James. What it says, you can count on it. You can take it to the bank. You can guarantee it'll come to pass. You don't have to worry about it. You can walk by faith knowing that God's going to bring it to pass. You know, the scripture, what it's also saying is, everything God's ever spoken will manifest. Every promise in the book will have a manifestation to it. Brother Brand told us, God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. Oh, think about that for a minute. If it says that he'll put no more on you than you can bear, God's obligated to bring that word to pass. If he says, let not your heart be troubled, and I go and prepare a place for you, God's obligated to bring that word to pass. If he says, I'll keep you, I'll give you rest, nothing can be laid to your charge, no condemnation, sin can't be laid to you, God is obligated to bring that word to pass. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one word of God will ever fail you one time. Oh, this word, this fullness of the word, this understanding of the word is the greatest thing we got. It's what allows us to move like we move and do the things we do. This fullness that's even in the bride of Jesus Christ is the full understanding of the word to where we're moving and acting and breathing on behalf of God. Why? Because we have an understanding of the word of God. You got to have a revelation of the word of God. God cares about his word so much. Beginning of the book, it only took one word to throw the whole thing out of whack. It didn't take a paragraph. Didn't take days worth of talking. All the devil did is put one false word in the middle of the sentence. And that was the fall in the garden. Because Eve accepted that and went with the serpent. We know the rest of the story. And here we are today. Now, we know God saw it happening. He's going to use it and all that. But one word. Then here comes Jesus in the middle of the book saying, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one word will fail. Yeah. Then you get the book of Revelations. It says, don't add or take away. God is his word. For the word to fail would mean God would fail. And the word cannot fail you. That's why it's so important to get here and feast on the word. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing. Amen. Hearing what? The word of God. Amen. This is where you get your strength. Where the carcass is, the word, the meat, the eagles will be gathered together. Amen. This is what we eat on. This is where we get understanding. This is what makes us who we are. And it's not just an intellectual conception. I want to keep reminding you, it's God giving you a revelation of his word to where you actually understand it and apply it in your everyday life. Yes. Amen. You know, we're 100% man, 100% God, right? Who said that before? That brother came, and I liked that how he said about Jesus. But, you know, some people take this fullness of God and almost want to say, well, today Jeremiah's going to snap his fingers, and that's going to move over to there, and that's off balance. That's just a human man with fleshly desires trying to dominate over people and snap their fingers and tell them what to do. But if your thoughts and your action is not tied to God's will or his word or what he's trying to accomplish today, it ain't going to amount to nothing. His word is his will. That's just you and your wants and your thinking and your desires. God don't need you to recreate the earth. He's already got the earth created. He don't need you to snap your fingers and move a planet over here. He's already done that. What he's here doing is fulfilling his word for the hour that we live in. And a bride that actually has his word and knows what he wants done with it, that's the fullness of God on the scene moving and breathing. That's God living and doing what he wants to do. God's always been about his word. But we want to make, sometimes I think people want to make that fullness. Well, you're going to bow to me now. I'm God in flesh. I'm so great. I'm so powerful. That's off cater a little bit. I'm sorry. Oh, I know that there's only one God, and I know that God's in me. The same God that created the heaven and the earth is the same one here today. I got a clear revelation on that. But we want to make this fullness sometimes so great with our human abilities, and the fullness has nothing to do with our human abilities. It's God himself manifesting his word on the face of the earth. And not one word will fail. We are the badger skin. Oh, somebody was testifying this morning. I thought it was not the holy mountain. It was the holy God on the mountain. Oh, take your shoes off, Moses, for the place where you stand is holy ground. It wasn't because that mountain was so holy. It was the fact that God was on that mountain. That he said, Moses, take your shoes off. You're standing in the presence of God. Well, here we are this morning. I might have a badger skin wrapped around me that don't always smell so good. It sweats and things like that. But it was Kevin's testimony. But God's here. Have a little respect, so to speak. Have a little honor. Know who you're dealing with. God really is in human skin. But what he's dealing with his bride with is the word of God. That's what she has in her hands. She has a full understanding of that word. And that makes the fullness of Godhead being right here on earth right now. Because we have the full word of God. I and my Father are one. That's exactly right. Heaven and earth shall be passed away, but not one word will fail. Now, David in the book of Psalms, Jesus in the book of Matthew. I'm going to get up to the word made flesh, I promise. Just bear with me a little bit. I know I started there, but I had a reason. You know, I was struggling. To be honest, I tell my story, I was like, man, what I want to talk about is a little broad. I almost just wanted to call it the word of God, but God wouldn't let me. So we're going to get to the word made flesh, so we're going to get there. But I want to explain because, I'll just say me. When I answered and said, simply put, it's the word of God in human skin, the devil whispered and says, is that too simple? I thought, that's as simple, I want to make it as simple as I can. But then I also thought, that word is God. That word is everything he is. That word is what tells us who he is. That word is what tells us what he wants to be. That word is what has every answer that we need in it. That word is what leads us and guides us. That word is what has given us answers. That word is what's made us strong. That word's let us know who we are. That word's let us know there's a rapture coming. That word's let us know who Jesus was. That word's let us know who we are. And to have that in your hands with a full word understanding, you are the fullness of God on the face of the earth. Amen. Oh, that's not simple. That's powerful. Yeah. That's great. That's the greatest thing you can have. Is an understanding of this word of God. The point is, we say it all the time, Luther did exactly what he's supposed to do. He had a powerful understanding in the day that he lived in and did exactly what God had him do. But you know what Luther did? He laid there and wondered if he was worthy to go to heaven. You know why? He didn't have a full understanding of the word of God. He only had a part understanding of the word of God. It did the job for that day, but he still had questions in his mind whether he was good enough or not. But are you worried? Why are you not worried? Because God's revealed this word to you. You have a full word understanding. You know the book from Genesis to Revelation. You know that every T crossed, every I dotted. You even know how to read between the lines. You've been set free. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you only got part word understanding, you're only going to be able to partly defeat the devil's questions. But in that day, ye shall know that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you. That's where we are today. This is that day, Brother Bram said. We know who we are. We know what God's doing. We know what he wants to do. We have thus saith the Lord, and we keep still. Oh, now you can start to see a little bit why he's excited. Telling somebody it's the full word of God on human skin. Oh, that gets me excited. Because I recognize what Luther had and what Leslie had was exactly what they needed for the day, but it ain't what I got. I even understand what Paul had wasn't what I got. I got the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. I got a full word understanding. I can defeat 200 million demons. because I got the Word of God. Oh, we couldn't ask for anything better. I read it to you, St. John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You want to get God? Get His Word. You want to understand who He is? Get His Word. Oh, that's what's so great about it. Let's rejoice about what a new birth is. It just takes one clear understanding, one revelation of the Word of God. Oh, it don't even take understanding every single book in the Bible. You didn't have to read one Brother Brandon book. Let God just come down here and talk to you one time and reveal His Word to you. And it's enough to change your nature. It's enough to make you ready for the journey. It's enough to make you part of the body. It's enough to prove you were in His mind. It's enough to go into rapture. Just one revelation of the Word of God. God's Word has never failed. Not one time. But David and Jesus talked about being set up on a rock, man. Talk about a rock. David said, He'll set me up on a rock. Solid. Jesus said, Peter, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you. But my Father which is in heaven. A revelation of the Word. It wasn't up on Peter. A revelation of who He was up on the Word. I'll build my entire church up on this rock. The revelation of that Word. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against Him. Amen. Now, in the natural, I like to win. In the natural, I don't like to be defeated. And I'm not even talking about a competition. I don't like to be defeated too much. I don't like to go to work and not get the job done. I don't like to do something at my house and it not be done pretty well. I like to win, so to speak. I like to do something well. That's just in my natural side. Well, by revelation, I want to whip the devil. I want to get to the rapture. I want to go to heaven. I want to have eternal life. And I know by the grace of God, by revelation, I got that. And the gates of hell can't stop it no matter how many fiery darts he shoots. I have everything I need to overcome the devil. Oh, you want to overcome the devil? Eat on his word a little bit. And that word will send him on his way. Turn with me to Matthew, the 4th chapter. I was reading this yesterday. One verse of it. And I thought, man, I got to figure out how to work this into the message. You'll see it here in a minute. It'll make you happy. Matthew, the 4th chapter. I'm going to start in verse 1. I'm talking about when Jesus ended up going in the wilderness and fasted 40 days. Nice. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Of course he was hungry. He had a pretty weak moment when it came to natural hunger. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written. Now listen to this next statement. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know how we live? By the word of God. That's our very life. Every word has everything we need to give us even direction in our everyday life. Then the devil taketh him up. Now, I want you to notice, what did Jesus put on the devil when he first tempted him? The word. So let's keep following the story all the way through. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God. Here's the devil again. He talked to Jesus just like he talks to you and me. Cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. That's in Psalms 91 that we read. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Now think about that. The devil even used a little word on it. Devil's sly, people. He believes this word more than a lot of people do. In the sense that he knows it, is what I'm trying. He'll use it against you. That's what he took Psalms 91. Said, Jesus, the angels will take care of you. That's how sly this devil is. But thank God it would deceive the elect if it was possible. But you can't deceive the very elect. But here the devil trying to use a little bit of scripture on Jesus. But when you're the fullness of the word, nothing gets by you.
Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Oh, Jesus knew who he was. You notice, because he wasn't tempting some spirit up in the cloud somewhere. Jesus is saying, I'm God, and you're tempting me. God in flesh, and you're tempting me. Hey, you're not supposed to do that. But he used the word on him again. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. You know, this world's not our home, people. We say this a lot. And Brother Branham used to use this scripture, these kingdoms, and these are the devil's. This is Satan's Eden. This is his world. Like you said, thank God for leadership. Even in this natural country, I'd much rather be in the USA than Haiti. Every day of the week. That was definitely a true statement, Brother James. But this world that he says, I know we think the USA is bad, and it is, but why it is, this is the devil's system. This is Satan's Eden. This is his kingdom. He controls this thing. Now, when I say this, we know God can snap his fingers and get rid of the devil. But God's got a plan working. But this is the devil's place. And he said to him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Man, isn't that what happens to a lot of us? That's why you leave the church, because you don't want God's word, headship, brother. Phil used to say it. Last person you pass out, pastors, he says, what you're really taking is another God. Gods can be many things. Be your car, be your job, be your house, whatever. Anything outside of God is a different God. And that's what we do. We walk away, but not Jesus. He had a full-word understanding. He said, and then Jesus said to him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So here's an example, because I'm going to read the next scripture that should make us all excited. Of the devil coming and tempting Jesus. Three times in this situation here. Even in some cases, so sly, putting some word on him. And Jesus, every time, the way he overcame was put the word on the devil. Because listen to verse 11. After Jesus had put the word on him, then the devil leaveth him. And behold, those angels the devil talked about came and ministered unto him. Oh, that's what the word will do for you. Don't ever let the devil tell you he's more powerful than you. Don't ever let the devil tell you that you can't make it. Don't ever let the devil tell you it's too hard to get through. Don't ever let the devil tell you it's whatever lie he wants to tell you. Put the word on the devil every single time. And then somewhere along the line, because he's not a believer, he will flee from you. Submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But you know what? You're not going to overcome with your intellectualism. You're not going to overcome by what they teach you in the world at college. You're not going to overcome by work and how they've trained you to become a good worker. You're not going to overcome by what you hear on the news station. You're not going to overcome by the hundreds of books you've read because you're a good reader. I ain't against any of the things I just mentioned, but that ain't how you're going to overcome the devil. You're going to overcome the devil because God's given you a revelation of this word, and you're going to take that word you got, that sword in the spirit, and you're going to slay that devil every single time he comes. You'll just be like Jesus. How many times have I used in my life? Get behind me, devil. I talk to him pretty straight sometimes because he's bold when he comes to you. And I remind him real quick, get behind me. I got the word. I got an understanding. I got a revelation. It's not even lawful for you to tempt to God. You have no place here. This is not your land. This is my land. This belongs to me. All the promises in the book belong to me. Healing belongs to me. Peace of mind belongs to me. Rest belongs to me. Grace belongs to me. Everything I need belongs to me. That's what the word tells me. Get behind me, devil. Oh. Having the fullness of the word is the greatest thing we can have, Brother Destin. Because this is what's going to change our body. This is what's going to give us the answer to everything. You want to overcome the devil? Get a revelation. Light puts out darkness every single time. Darkness is the absence of light. But you let a little light show up, the devil has to flee. Oh, I like that. So I'm just preaching to myself this morning when I said it simply, it's the word of God. When I get to think about this word a little bit and what it means to us and how you whip the devil, you know it's by the revelation that the rapture's going to come forth. What we talk about, our job today, it's just going to be another revelation. Just going to be another understanding. That's what the rapture is. It's just going to be an understanding of the word. And then we're going to realize we don't have to be here. And we're going to get out of here. Oh, this word of God is the greatest thing I could have, this understanding of the word of God. Oh, many people pack the Bible around. And I'm not against it. Like I told you, I'm not even putting it down. Many people read it and it helps them out daily. It's good to carry this book and have this book. It's good getting and try to put one in every hotel. But oh my, get a revelation of this thing. Understand the book from Genesis to Revelation. Understand and see your name in here, that you're very part of these words, that you're manifesting the Word of God, that you're the one manifesting the Word of God, that you're the very living, breathing Scripture in action. Oh, that'll change your life. That'll take somebody that has all kinds of plans and change them in a moment. Take somebody that's got all kinds of ideas and change them in a moment. It'll take somebody going to move away and change them in a moment. It'll take somebody that says, I don't need God. My God's my career. And before you know it, you quit your job for God. That's how great this thing is. It'll change your very life. Having a revelation, the word is what you feast on. And once you get that one revelation, it becomes part of you. And you have a crave for this word. And I ain't talking about your flesh. Your flesh sometimes will enjoy it and feel good. And other times it'll be tired. And say, I don't want to do it. But on the inside of the inside, as the heart pants for the water brook, so does my soul long after ye, God, after thee, God. That's how we are this morning. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So you overcome the devil by this word. You can overcome the devil by applying the word in your life. This word has the answers. Brother Bram said, to all the devil's questions. It'll tell you to seek him first. I'll tell you to gather yourself together that much more. You see the day approaching. It'll tell you that there's no condemnation. It'll let you know who you are. Now, another point I wanted to make before I get back to the word made flesh is every word of God, God wants it to be manifested. Now think about that. Why I say that and that gets me excited is because I know what the words are in this book and what they mean. And I know there's a lot of things already manifested. But, Brother Dustin's, I won't be satisfied until I wake in his likeness. But I know his word says I'm going to. I know his word says my body's going to change. I know his word says I'm going to have a glorified body. Oh, I like that because it's going to manifest. It has to manifest. There's not one word of God that goes out void. I've always held that, even when I come here, expecting them when somebody's preaching me, that word ain't going out void. Every service that God comes in here, well, even through the body, those words of God are going out, and they're doing exactly everything they're supposed to do. Because God goes right now in that word, and he quickens it to people, and deals with people, and talks to people. Not one word of God in these services go out void. Everything he says has a reason. Everything he says has got an address to whoever is supposed to be addressed to. And our job is to come in here and say, it's me, oh Lord. I don't say that's for James, that's for Brother Deskins. Help me, Lord. But I believe God comes in here and he preaches. He knew everybody that was going to be in this service this morning. Knew every question you came in here with. Knew every doubt you had in your mind. Knew every worry you had in your mind. Because that word, the Bible says, another thing it says, is sharp.
sharper than a two-edged sword, discerning the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's Hebrews 4:12, dividing asunder the body, the bone, the marrow, and the spirit. God comes in here with his word. Preacher don't come in here saying, well, I know Dwayne's got this problem. I know Seth's got this problem. I know Skyler's got this problem. Oh, I see Chris over here, so I'm going to talk about that today. That ain't how it works. I promise you that ain't how it works. Now, Brother Moore deals with each and every one of us. He might come in here and deal with the Spirit because he's been talking to us. But I'm a preacher up here, an evangelist this morning. I just studied a little service, but I got the word on my hand. And that word goes out, and it knows what you need. It knows what it's dealing with. It knows who he's talking to. It knows everything you thought before you got here this morning. And he says, starts talking to us. Oh, take that as a good thing. The great God wants to talk to you one-on-one this morning. He's sitting here saying, let's have a little communion together. Let me give you my secrets a little bit. Let me help you with your day. Let me give you peace. Take a little weight off. Use these 2 hours. You know you battle out there every time you're out there. Take these couple hours or so, and let's just talk together a little bit. And let me give you answers to all those questions you walked in here with this morning. I know everything you have need of. Oh, that's exciting. God showed up this morning to give you everything you have need of. Oh, you got a financial problem? God's got an answer. Don't get any more in debt than you can handle. If you can't afford it, don't buy it. If you got to put it on a credit card and it's going to stay on there too long, don't buy that thing. You don't need that thing. God knows what you need. The answer is this morning. You don't have to be hard. Just trust him. Take him at his word. And he'll give you every answer you have need of. But he wants to manifest this word. When he said, let there be light, I don't care. As Brother Branham would say, it could have been 200 billion tons of years. It didn't matter how long it took. But when he said, let there be light, somewhere along the line, there was going to be light. And I got a quote up here, and I really liked it. Brother Branham, because Brother Branham says, the manifested word is the light of the hour. That's a quote we've used. But I found one, he says, if the word ain't manifested, it ain't the light yet. I thought, that makes sense. And he used Genesis 1. He said, when he said, let there be light, he said, I'll prove to you, let there be light. If there ain't no light, it was still dark. He said, but until that word became manifested, there was no light. He said, it takes the manifested word for it to light it up, to show you what it really means. Because how does God interpret his word? By bringing it to pass. Oh, I know the word helps us up here as it gets preached to us. But the greatest order that you can get is when that word's manifested in your very life. That is the light of the hour. The revealed word. God quickened it to you. That's another way to say it's a manifested word. When God reveals this word to you and quickens the word to you, it's not just words on a book anymore. It's been made alive to you. It's something that you use in your everyday life. It helps you. It's stirred you up. I saw people this morning walking around the church. Why? Because it's got like fire shut in the bone. That word's been revealed to you. And you just start thinking about the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done. And you can't help yourself but want to testify. You can't help yourself but want to praise God. You can't help yourself but want to sing a song. That's how powerful the revealed word is to you. But when that word becomes manifested, made real, made alive, oh, it's the light of the hour. And everything that God says is going to come to pass. Okay. Oh, let me read one for you here. Brother Branham in the rapture. I thought I'd perk your ears up. I said the rapture. I ain't joking. I believe in the rapture. I'm ready to get out of here. Oh, I hear the rapture. It perks my ears up. And I hear somebody even say the word. I'm like, is this the time? Well, what do you got to say about now? Is this the hour? I may not know the hour. Is this the week? Are we getting even that much closer? Give it to me, Lord. I'm serious about it. I know I made a little funny out of there, but hey, I'm like you. I hear that word rapture. I'm like, is it time? I see all the signs around me. I see all the other manifested word that's happened. I've seen God manifest everything else he said. I see Russia, that part of the word, get manifested. I see the Catholic Church in this shape. I see Israel in this shape. I see the world in a Sodom and Gomorrah condition. Oh my, this word's so great. This manifested word proves who God is. It shows you who he is. It's the very thing he wanted to be. Every word he's ever promised is coming to pass. Brother Branham was talking about Israel 60 plus years ago, and they're manifesting the very thing he said. He's talking about California sinking many years ago, and at any moment it could sink, we know it. He said, don't worry about communism, watch Russia, and who are we worried about today? God is in his word, and he will bring it to pass every single time. So I believe in a rapture. Oh, I know it's already in process, so don't get that twisted either, but I'm talking about I'm waiting for my body to change. Oh, I'm looking for Don Allen. I'm looking for Earl Childers. I know we in one accord in one place and the walls of partition come down, but I want to actually see him again, Brother Dustin. I want my eyes changed. I want to get in that other dimension. I want to be changed in a moment and twinkle of an eye. I want to hear that last trump sound louder than it's ever sounded, so to speak. I'm ready to get out of here. And it's just going to be another revelation. You know how fast revelation happens. It's God. He's the quickening power. He quickens that word to you. And what I love to be able to say it, because as an engineer I am, I know we have a speed of light. We measure the speed of light. What I love about it is God's faster than that. Yeah. Oh, that gets me excited every time. Because the world, there's nothing that can beat the speed of light. That's they'll teach you that. But I tell you what can.
Yeah.
The one that created light.
Yeah.
The one that made light.
Yeah.
That's how fast a revelation can happen to you.
Yeah.
It's faster than the speed of light.
Yeah.
God just give you a clear understanding. That's how fast that rapture can happen. So when I hear the term rapture, it gets me excited too. Now, Brother Branham, in the rapture, he says, we're waiting for the raptures of the saints. Notice what he says, it's been spoken, and so shall it be. Now listen to this. When God says anything, all heaven and earth will pass away, but that word will never fail. When God said back there in Genesis 1, he said, let there be light, and it might have been hundreds of years before there was any light. He said it, let there be a palm tree, let there be an oak tree, let there be a desert, let there be a mountain, let there be this. He spoke it, you see. As long as it went out of his mouth in a word, it has to be manifested. It has to be. Oh, amen, Brother Branham. If it comes out of the mouth of God in word form, it has to be manifested. Anything he's promised in his word, anything he's ever said, Brother James, when he said a virgin shall conceive, I think that was 400 or 600 years before it happened, but it came to pass. When Moses said, God will liken unto a prophet unto me, it took a while, so to speak, but it happened, it came to pass. When he told Abraham and Sarah they were going to have a kid, it took 25 years, but it came to pass. And when he's told us anything this day and hour, when he's given us this word, when he's told us about a rapture, when he's told us about a marriage supper, when he's told us about the change of the body, when he told us about a 2,000-year-old bride body, when he says we're going to unite with him and go meet the Lord in the air, it's been spoken, and it has to manifest.
Amen.
Oh, the word of God is so great. That's why we're here this morning. Oh, I always like to just keep separate. I ain't trying to get you to, by knowledge, read a Bible and study it every day of your life and get some intellectual conception. I'm telling you to get to church and let somebody preach to you and let God ride out on that word. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. That Holy Spirit rides out on every word. He likes to ride out on his word. That's what he's sent to do is reveal his word. That word speaks. And if it's the true word, he can quicken it, Brother James.
Amen.
He rides out on that word and he gives you a revelation. He quickens that word to you. That's not that. What's the Bible says? When he shall come, he'll show you all things.
Yeah.
He'll reveal, lead and guide you into all truth.
Yeah.
He'll reveal his truth to you. So get a revelation of this word. And as Brother Branham said, you can never overemphasize the importance of revelation to a believer. And it ain't our stress and strain that's going to make it happen. We just come to church, and the word takes care of itself. You got to have a receiver. You got a preacher. Romans 10 says, how can you hear except to be preached? Faith comes by hearing. That preacher gets up and gets out of the way. God starts talking. That word starts coming forth. And then you're a believer out there. You have a receiver in you, and God reveals that word to you. And just more information on that revelation. And you get stronger and more powerful, and you walk out of here thinking I can overcome the devil.
Right.
I heard it in your sister's testimonies this morning. You enjoyed your fellowship so much yesterday in your word. I didn't hear it this morning. You're ready to take on the world. Yeah. That's what it should be. That's how any of us is.
Yeah.
God talked to me personally.
Yeah.
Help me, Jesus. I'm ready to wear the devil out. Yeah. I'm going to walk out of here this morning. Amen. God talked to me this morning. Yes. God dealt with me this morning. God gave me more of his word.
Amen.
Bring on the devil. That's how I feel right now. Where's the devil at?
Yeah.
Right. That's what this word will do for you when it gets quickened to you. It'll give you a revelation. But God wants to manifest all of his word. He is his word. It's his plan. It's his will. It's what he protects, as we've been preaching. He'll make sure every word comes to pass if he had to raise a rock to do it. That's what he would do. You can stand on this thing. And you can count on it. It takes a revelation. And it takes faith. Because sometimes you might wait 25 years. Sometimes you might wait 10 years. Sometimes it might happen right then. But if God ever tells you anything, I don't care if it takes 50 years. I don't care if it takes 60 years. Before you die, if he told you it was going to happen before you die, I don't care if you're 99 years old. Don't you worry about it. Everything he told you is going to come to pass. Oh, that's why I can connect it to God protecting us. We're his seed. We're his word. We're his very word manifested for the hour. The devil can't even touch you until God is done with you. Because you're who is here fulfilling and manifesting the very word of God. Now, I told you I would get back to this fullness. But I always want to remind us how great God is in his word. Now, this word we were just talking about, St. John 1:1 said the word was God. And in the 14th verse, it said the word was made flesh. And I read in Colossians where it pleased the Father that in Christ the fullness would dwell. What that means is that Christ had the full word of God. In that hour, he understood what God wanted done. He knew what God was trying to accomplish. Oh, he wasn't there trying to snap his fingers and create some heaven and earth. He was there to do a job, his job. And he had an understanding what that job was, Brother James. And because he did, he walked around and didn't care what anybody thought about him. You know, the brother sent him multiple quotes, and one he said he was the prophets. He was the Psalms. Everything that God was, he was. All that God was poured into Jesus Christ. Psalms 22 says, why hast thou forsaken me? He was that. He was the deliverer in Moses. He was the rock in the wilderness. He was everything that the Old Testament said he would be. He wasn't just manifesting a part. He was the full word of God walking in human skin on the face of the earth. Oh, if you ever wanted to see God, never wanted to touch God, you could touch him face and look at him face to face in that day. Because all God was walking around there, James, in human skin. And think what he did. He acted like nobody before him acted. He had answers like nobody before him had. I know we've been over this before, but he answered the woman in the act of adultery different than John the Baptist would have.
Yeah.
Come on now. He answered different than Moses would have.
Yeah.
Why could he do that? Because he had a full understanding of God. He had a full understanding of what God wanted done with his word. He said, I didn't come to condemn the world. I come to save the world.
Right.
John the Baptist couldn't say that altogether.
Right.
But here come the fullness of God on the scene.
Yeah.
Grace and truth on the scene. Saying, I didn't come just to condemn you. I come to save you. And if you can hear my words, their spirit and their truth, they will change your life. And you'll never need to draw that. You might draw the natural water, but you'll never thirst again. I'll give you eternal life. Oh, that was talking different. That's what the full word of God brought on the scene. Oh, simply put, the fullness is the full word of God on the scene walking around in human flesh. Oh, that's not little. That's a big deal. Because that made Jesus walk around and said, I am the resurrection.
Yes, sir.
What you loose and bind will be bound in heaven. No man can come to the Father but by me.
That's right.
Lazarus come forth. He was doing things nobody had done before, all because he had a full understanding of the Word of God. He took authority over everything. He went into the house where the Pharisees were. They wouldn't wash his feet. They stuck their nose up at the woman that came in, and he wasn't worried about them. He says, "I got this little woman's trying to give me everything she's got, and I'm going to send her on her way, and I'm going to condemn her. She's got a desire in her heart to help me, and she's supposed to let me stick my feet out." And nobody else at the table could do it. Nobody else had an understanding. That was the problem. If they had the same understanding Jesus had, they would have done the same thing. Saying, "I ain't going to condemn this woman. The grace of God's here." Think about it. If they knew who he was, if they had a revelation, they'd have been able to say, "Come on in. I ain't worried about your life. The one that's paying the price is here. Oh, I got the best news on the face of the earth for you this morning. The one that's stopping the stones from getting thrown at you is here this morning." If they'd had a revelation, that's what they would have said. They didn't have it. They didn't know it. See how powerful the full word understanding is? Jesus stood there and said, "I ain't going to condemn you. I'm going to stick my feet out, and I'm going to deal with you. Because if you can recognize who I am, there's something in you that recognizes God. And that's all I need you to do is just believe me and understand my word, and everything else will be taken care of." All because he had the full word of God. Walked up to that blind man. Oh, I'm going to make it real to you here in a little bit. Walked up to that blind man. It was a Saturday. It was a Sabbath. And we know a lot of them would have been like we would have been. "Well, you're going to talk to this guy today because it's the Sabbath. And there's no reason to worry about healing him today. Because we know it's the Sabbath day. And we only heal on the Sabbath. Because that would be work." They had a partial understanding. But then Jesus showed up. Fullness. Full word understanding. Says, "I do nothing unless the Father first shows me." And knew that God was dwelling in him. Knew he was the Son. Called God his Father. Didn't like that. He wasn't worried about the Saturday. You know, when I preach this type of topic, I always try to do it carefully because I ain't trying to tell anybody to live bad. But I've been around enough so many critics. The problem is they don't have an understanding.
Right.
That's really the problem. Jesus wasn't worried about the critics. He's the one that said, "The Son of Man must do work. Why it's day. I only got so much time here. Son of Man only has so much time." He said, "I got to work while I have a time."
Right.
And with a full word understanding, full word of God standing there, grace and truth standing there, Jesus was able to say, "I'm not worried about it being the Sabbath." He'd say, "The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath."
Right.
He spoke in a prayer of that blind man. That blind man received his sight.
Right.
And the critics would still not understand and criticize Jesus. We know the story. How in the world could this man do it unless he be from God? Who healed you? He criticized the man. The man said, all these things you say may be true. But all I know is I was blind. And you guys have been praying for me. I ain't got my healing. But that guy, he stirred up, and it was on the Sabbath. Sure it was. But I don't know. I'm just glad I see this morning. And I was blind, but now I see. All because the full word of God was there. Because if the full word of God wasn't on the scene, then he wouldn't have got the same answer. But when the full word of God showed up, he said, "I ain't worried about law. I ain't worried about rituals. I ain't worried about orders. I'm worried about doing the will of him that sent me. And I must work while it's day."
Amen.
Oh, that's what a full word understanding does for you. Oh, what does the fullness mean? It means Jesus had a full understanding of the will of God, of the word of God, and was the very manifestation of that word.
Yes.
That's what it meant. Oh, the fullness dwelt in Jesus, and to please God, God had given him every understanding he needed. Showed him everything. That's why Jesus could act and behave and do the things that he did. He said, "Destroy this body, and I'll raise it up in 3 days. He had a revelation on everything he said. That's what that fullness was about. That's why I don't want to belittle that thing. You get an understanding of the word, you're going to send a million devils on the way. Now, here's what's great about it, people. All that was in God was poured into Christ. But all that was in Christ was poured into the bride. Oh, my. Now, I'm going to slow down and I'll give you a couple minutes of this, but I just want to do it for people who don't know. We know that Paul started off with the perfect, pure word of God. He had everything that Jesus brought, and he preached the truth. And then God started backing away because he was fulfilling Scripture. And here comes the devil putting a little creeds and dogmas in. And they started losing that pure word of God. And the death angels took it in. We know the story. But by the time you got to Luther, we almost had a full Catholic church. So far away from the word of God, didn't hardly have anything right, if they had anything right at all. Just a little bit of light left, I think Brother Bram said. Just a little sliver. And here comes Luther. Restoration started. God bringing that word back. But like I told you earlier, Luther didn't have a full word understanding. He could only say so much, and he did exactly. It was the plan of God. Right. Then Wesley brought a second part of it. And then we had the restoration of the gift and that. We know it. But that wasn't time. It wasn't time to have a full word. Right. Right. But I'm even going to give you we had a closed book, too. Because John saw heard the thunders uttered and said, seal up those things which the thunders uttered. So here we are. We got part written word understanding. We have no idea what the seals are containing. And God's so great, he was fulfilling his word the whole time. Every word he said and prophesied in the book of Revelation, the church ages 1-7 was happening. God brings past every one of his word. But the point I'm making is Wesley could only give so much, take so much authority. He could only give so much answer. But then we got the full word restored. Malachi 4's job restored back what Paul had. But here's what's so great. How many times have we read Revelation 10? That book that got sealed up. And John was weeping because it was closed. Oh, here come one down. That same Jesus that was in the fullness the first time. Come back down. Brought down in word form. Notice he said he sent down in word form again. Come down and put his foot on land and sea. And had a little book open in his hands. And now the seals were open. Now the full word of God's revealed. Now we know what the thunders mean. Right. Now we understand the book from Genesis to Revelation. Right. We have a full word understanding. Yes. The Son of Man on the scene again. Only two times. All that was in Christ is poured into the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. The scriptures talk about you. It tells you who you are. It tells you what your job is. It tells you why you're here. The prophet said everything it says about Christ. It says about you. Where it says he's the resurrection, you're the resurrection. Where it says he's full of grace and truth, you're full of grace and truth. Where it said he was the Lord of the Sabbath, you're the Lord of the Sabbath. Where it says that his words are spirit and life, your words are spirit and life. Why? Because it's the same God. All that was in God is poured into Christ, and all that was in Christ is poured into the bride. It's the same God the whole time. He's given us his full word understanding. And look around you, little bride. Who acts like you? Who talks like you? Who's free of condemnation like you? Who gives grace when others can't give grace like you? Who lets people come to church not dressed the way that we should dress? And don't even say a word about it. Because we know you're coming in here with the right desire. You're like the little woman that washed Jesus' feet. So what we do, what God does, I'm going to stick my feet out again. Oh, bring the wine bibbers in here. Bring the alcoholics in here. Bring the smokers in here. Let me start talking to them. If your heart's towards God, God can deal with you. Whether I ever change that about you, it ain't going to stop me from talking to you. And God deals with us, and he reveals himself to us, and we get a full word understanding. And even when I'm doing things I know are wrong, I'm walking around saying, but I have no condemnation. Who else can talk like that? Oh, I ain't worried about snapping my fingers and creating some heaven and earth. I ain't trying to be worshipped because I'm God. I got a full word understanding in my hand. I got joy unspeakable and full of glory. This is what the bride's revival is. It's around the word of God. And this revival has not died down since it's got here. I'm still rejoicing over this word. Who talks like you? Who walks like you? Who takes authority like you? Who loosens and binds like you? Who walks out and says, when you treat me good, you're treating God good? Who does that? Who says, I'm going to take my loved ones? Who says, everybody's hating Israel right now, but don't you worry, there's 144,000 over there that the devil can't touch because they belong to God. Who else says that? Nobody else talks like that. Rest of the world is starting to doubt Israel themselves. We stuck with Israel for so many years, and we got to the point we're ready to start doubting them. But here's the full word on the scene again. I'm excited because I know those 144,000 can't be touched till God deals with them. And it's getting dangerous over here. So I realize where I'm at. I'm close to getting out of here. And I was like, Lord, you better help protect them because every country seems to be going against them. Who else can talk like that? As the song we used to sing, what kind of man is this? You know, he talks like Jesus. You know, he walks like Jesus. Must be the Lord. That's who's on your scene today. The full word of God is back on the scene. The full word of God is understood by the bride. The full word of God is in manifestation. We're the living, breathing, moving word of God. Oh, that's what the fullness is about. It's God taking his word out of paper and putting it in human skin and living and breathing the word with every heartbeat. Oh, you don't got to make it happen. You ain't got to try to work it out. We're not called to some code of rules or some law. We're called to just understanding the word of God. And you get that understanding, your life will change. And with every heartbeat. You say all the time, pick a scripture. I always go to St. John 14:12. The works that I do, shall you do also. Greater than these. Because I go to my Father. Who's that talking about? You. And I don't care how many mistakes you make, and the devil talk to you, with every heartbeat you have, with every breath you take, you are manifesting. St. John 14:12, because those greater works is no longer God in one man, it's in a many-membered bride body, and you're part of that. You've been born again. So look at the devil and say, with every heartbeat, I'm manifesting the word of God. Oh, that's what God's about. It's about his word. And having that full word understanding is the greatest thing we can have. The book being opened and no longer sealed. Right. Having grace and truth on the scene again. It's the greatest thing we can have. We wouldn't even know what the rapture's about without it. We wouldn't know what the bride's revival is without it. We wouldn't know about a glorified body the right way without it. We wouldn't know that who we are attached to as a body without it. We wouldn't know how the rapture and way is going to happen without it. We wouldn't know what the things that are to be without it. But because we have this full word in us to manifest and have an understanding of it, we can deal with everybody we meet. Oh, what does that fullness mean? Jesus had a full word understanding. He had the full word of God. All that God was, because the word is God, was poured into Christ. You can't separate God from his word. And here this bride is today, Brother Deskins. She got that same full word. Just the second fold of this thing. Amen. Manifesting God in his fullness. Yeah. All that God wanted. Yeah. All that God wanted to be. His threefold purpose was God in Christ. He didn't want to stop there. He wanted a bride. Yeah. A many-membered bride. A 2,000-year-old bride body. And he's got that now. And we're the living, breathing manifestation of that word. That's what the fullness is. And we're going to go back to a Garden of Eden condition. Yes. There already in every way but one. Amen. I just need a change in these bodies. Oh, that's exciting. Let's read what Brother Branham said. God is good. Read a couple here. I just rolled by one I think I should read. It's out of God's only provided place of worship. We'll start there. The Lutherans under justification, the feet raises it like that. Wesley under sanctification, the Pentecostals under the arms, the works and the deeds, so forth. Had to be Calvinist or had to be Arminian, had to be legalist. Now we've come to the head, the capstone. Grace, grace, the capstone cried. The headstone crying, what? Grace, grace. Passed from death and creed into a living word of the living God. God's only provided plan for this age, his sons in the word age, quickened by the Spirit like a spark that's lit off, something to make it alive and seated now in heavenly places. Already alive and subject to every promise in the Word. Then what does that do? You being a part of God's gene, part of the Word, other men a part of God's Word, seated together, manifest the entire body of Christ. Because there's no leaven
among you. No leaven among you, just the word only. Seated in heavenly places. In the door where Jesus put his name. Here's what I want to get to. No leaven among you. That brings the entire fullness of the Godhead bodily among you. Why? Because there's no leaven. It means you have the full word. Pure word. Couldn't do it in Luther's age. Couldn't do it in Wesley's age. Couldn't do it in the Pentecostal's age. But in the day when the Son of Man will be manifested, revealed, brought back the church together with the entire deity of God amongst his people, showing the same visible signs, manifesting himself like he did at the beginning when he was manifest on earth in the form of a prophet, God. Notice he put that word manifest in there. The word made flesh is by that manifested word. Not just the full word of God in a book. It's that full word of God walking around in flesh, manifesting in human skin. The word made flesh. That's where we are. And Brother Branham says, and see not ever shuck, one of Brother Chiller's favorite quotes, notice in the Pentecostal age, to the Lutheran age, to the Wesleyan age, it's been the same thing through the Pentecostal age, but at the opening of the seven seals, Revelation 10, the full word is to be born in the manifestation again and vindicated by the Spirit of God in the full strength as it was when he was here on earth, manifested in the same way, doing the same things it did when it was here on earth. Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ is saying yesterday and forever. In Luke 17 30, Jesus said in the last days was in Sodom when the Son of Man will be revealing himself again. Full word born in the manifestation. No leaven. That's when you got the Son of Man on the scene. That's the Word made flesh. Oh, there's nothing greater we could have than a revelation from God. One day we're going to get that final revelation and get out of here. But that revelation of the Word, having the full Word, is a different group of people than anywhere in the world. I'm talking about the bride. I ain't only just saying these four walls. But we know we have a pretty deep understanding. And that is only by that understanding that we act and do what we do. Without it, we wouldn't be bold. It's the revelation word that makes you feel like I can step out because God's word said so. Well, only reason why Jesus could say, destroy this body and I'll raise up in 3 days because he knew what the word said. I will not see my Holy One and see corruption. So in 3 days, I'm going to resurrect. And here we are today. It's not because me as a man or you as a woman or a man is so great and you're just snapping your fingers and making this happen. No. You're manifesting the Word. And you're using the revelation of the Word to live everyday life and apply it to your life and know who you are and deal with every situation you come across. It's the fullness on the scene again. God in flesh again. Thank God for this understanding. God bless you. Come on, musicians. God is good. Amen. All the time. Amen. Takes care of every need, answers every question. Never too early, never too late. Yeah. Always just on time. Yeah. And we thank God for that. Remember, we're going to have service tonight at 7. Amen. Pray for Brother Moore. He's on the road. I never asked him if he's coming back tonight in time for service, but if not, we're going to have service anyhow. One way or the other, we will have service and enjoy ourselves. So come back expecting and let God use you. And give me a minute, we'll find a good song here. I see the Word made flesh again. Find that. All right. You can put the words up and I'll fall there, but. This is why I think we're going to have to redo this book, because I can't ever figure it out. But it's all right. It happened once before in the upper room a long time ago. The Spirit came down and
streets and they spoke in a